You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
Here are the rules. One of my friends comes in and gives me a list of their five favorite video games. And then I pick one, and then we set the timer for 10 minutes. This is 10 minutes about your favorite video game.
Sean.
Hey, man.
Did we walk into the wrong podcast?
Well, you know, now that we're part of a podcast network, I think we're supposed to share certain assets.
I guess.
I feel like recording the tease this week.
Oh, okay. Well, I suppose we can recycle that. I mean, we've been This American Life before. So.
Twice.
So why not? But
hey, are they part of our network?
I'm sure they are. That's... I know we joined some network. I think it's This American Life, Radio Lab, Stuff You Should Know, and Famicom Dojo. Yeah.
No, that's not it. That's not it. I don't
it
think
It should
that's
be pointed it. Out that for legal reasons, it's This American Life, and America is spelled with three Ks. So I think legally we can kind of get away with that. Although for a while we were in trouble for other reasons, and I'm not sure why.
Oh, God.
Where's that voice coming from?
Oh, that's Rob.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I'm sorry. You guys wandered into my recording studio.
Yes.
Oh.
That's awkward.
I guess it's both of our recording studios. Normally I'm here. Just hanging around until somebody taps me on the shoulder and tells me I'm supposed to do a podcast. I must have been napping in the corner when you guys came in.
Yes.
I like
what you've done with the recording studio. You don't see many people do it all in red velvet. This is nice.
It's pretty sweet. And really, it's just to cover up all of the posters that I stole from Fox Video, which is no longer a thing that exists.
Oh,
sad face.
Yeah, you may notice I'm a little more depressing when I'm not actually doing my podcast.
Oh, what?
Well, let's comfort you with things that make us very, very happy. One of those things is video games.
Oh, cool. All right. I've played a video game from time to time.
Just one.
just the one.
It's going
I didn't realize there was a one that wasn't Pong until like about yesterday. So I've been playing them furiously, which is weird because... I've had both a PlayStation 2 and a PlayStation 3. Oh, anyway, I've just played Pong on them.
that you know what? That would actually take some doing. But...
Can you still even get Pong for the That's something I really want to exist now. I want there to be like a ridiculous high budget. Well-rendered version of Pong.
There was for the not super new, but for the PlayStation, they had like Pong: The Return or something, and they had like all these neon-colored groovy paddles, but it was still Pong.
It's got to be like 15 years old at this point. That's not very new.
We got it. We need to find this. There's
drive that long ago.
We'll link it in the show notes.
Okay.
But there was a game when I was in high school called Pong Combat, which was a combination of Pong and Mortal Kombat. It was basically Pong, but if you got the meter down low enough, there were fatalities.
So it's Mortal Pongbat, I guess?
Yeah, basically. It was, yeah.
That's back ridiculous. Never say that again.
I think it was Pong Combat. I'll have to look it up. But I do remember that they had the BIOS or whatever, and it was like, blue paddle, win. but I still remember reading the BIOS, and everyone had these strong reasons for doing it. Like, one wanted to, you know, money and fame or whatever. And it was just like, green paddle wants to buy a soda. Like, the reason for entering this tournament. It was ridiculous. I would love it. It's a DOS game. I'm sure we could. I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
I love Kong the Combat. It's funny, when I was in back when I was in film school, my final project was going to be, and I wish I had the kind of the sand to even try and do this now, but I think the time has passed. This is around when movies like Super Mario Brothers had come out, and I was like saying I wanted to do a final project that was called Pong the Movie, and it wasn't going to be the actual movie of it. It was going to be all the ad campaign for Pong the Movie that would start with the opening non-footage teaser trailer. The whole idea was like it was going to be how you could make an audience want to see a movie they would have absolutely no interest in seeing if the ads were good enough.
The Tetris movie is coming out, right?
So. Yeah, the Tetris movie, that was a great trailer.
But I mean, it's like when you see, it's like the idea is that you'd hear, you just see like darkness. And then you just hear boom, and you'd see just sort of this giant white ball go by the screen. And it would pull back, and then we'd see like the Pong screen. And then just suddenly like boom, summer. And that's the the entire ad. And then like eventually it would lead to like this entire storyline, you know, about a character whose name was like, I don't know, Jack Pong. You know, and he fights for the left, yeah. Not like the people who are on the right. And Max von Sydow runs the team, who's like the guy who runs the team on the right, and James Earl Jones runs the team on the left. You must always protect the left. You must always protect the left. And you're playing like the trailer music from Judge Dredd in the background. Dun 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 dun.
But the thing is, I mean, yeah, the time has passed because parody has become reality. I mean, when I saw Lego the Movie, I'm like, how is that gonna work? Oh, it worked. It worked.
It is actually an awesome movie. I like that movie. But yes.
And I mean, advent of YouTube, someone might have already done it, but I don't think anybody's done Pong the Musical.
No. Well, Megan Rose, get on that. it's my second time I've used that as a punchline. it's just, I still am also kind of perplexed by the existence of Super Mario Brothers. Like, in that, why would, I'm also kind of perplexed by, like, movies that are made from video games that, like, you know, the only people who are going to see this are, like, people who have played the video game. So surely they're going to know that this is nothing like it, right? I'm looking directly at you, Max Payne, the movie.
Oh, well, I never did see that.
Well, here's how I see it. With Super Mario Brothers, the movie, the one who had to take me to see it because I was a kid was my father. And he didn't know the lore behind the Super Mario Brothers movie. Mm-hmm. So he needed a story that he could grip onto without knowing that to be entertained for an hour and a half. Unfortunately, this movie didn't have a story. But I think that's what they were trying to. Man, that was weird. When Velociraptor Yoshi first came out, I'm like, even as a kid, I'm like, I'm done.
What, the enormous guy who they said was named Toad didn't stop you first?
And the Goombas with their tiny shrunken heads and
enormous bodies? That's just exactly backwards.
But, I mean, the late, great Dennis Hopper will always be Koopa.
Yeah, that President Koopa was pretty badass, especially the Super Scope 8 gun.
Six.
Oh God, what am I doing?
Was there an upgrade?
I barely remember much of that movie. I remember kind of wanting to see it only because Rocky Morton and Annabelle Jankel, who directed it, like they directed the original Max Headroom short.
Really?
And they did the Dennis Quaid BOA, which I really liked. At the time, like when I was a teenager, like that was my jam, was the Dennis Quaid DOA for some reason. So it's
you're on a video game podcast and you just said Dennis Quaid DOA, and I'm like thinking, is that a sequel to Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball starring Dennis Quaid?
Oh my god,
I would play that.
But you know that would happen. Like if they I was about to say, you know that would happen if they made the DOA movie, and then I suddenly remembered they did make a
DOA.
Wesley.
And it was so aptly named because it was totally dead on arrival.
We should have Adam on sometime to talk about that movie. I think he loves it.
Oh, I liked it too. But, I mean, not as a movie.
I really haven't seen it. I think I've tried once. Actually, I found a Spanish dubbed version. It was quite odd. I did not watch it.
That's probably the way to watch it, because then the plot can be anything you want it to be.
I know some Spanish though, so it would probably.
Oh, you need like something Swahili or something.
Oh goodness. So Rob, you're going through our backlog, it sounds like, and you'll hit some episodes that we've discussed these movies.
Yeah. Because that's the thing, is I know you've probably already had the discussion of, is there such a thing? Has there been a good video game movie?
Oh yeah.
What would you say is a good video game movie?
Mortal Kombat, the first one.
Oh, I liked Mortal Kombat. I don't know if I would call it a good movie.
Well, I guess compared to, and Silent Hill was pretty good.
I still haven't seen that, and that keeps coming up.
Like episode 51.
Yeah. There you go. I'm still kicking myself because I was at, a couple of years ago, I was at the Universal Studios Halloween tour, and they had a Silent Hill themed haunted house, and I had a choice between that and
Dennis Quaid Experience.
The Dennis Quaid Experience. And I went in, and Dennis Quaid was just standing there. And he's like,
what?
Hey, how's it going? See me in that show Vegas that's coming up.
Wow.
I mean, it only went on for like one episode, but I watched it. I mean, he was all right in it.
Was that Vegas spelled with dollar signs?
That was not. That's the one with Robert Urich.
Speaking of Quaid, isn't this how it happened to Randy Quaid? Man, that guy.
Holy crap.
Weird.
We're going way off topic here. I'm sorry.
Way, way, way off topic. I don't know. Unless Randy Quaid makes a video game, what would that even be?
Oh, at this point, I would love to see it.
It would be a first-person stealth puzzle game.
Where in the world is Randy Quaid?
Where in the world is Randy Quaid? And it comes with an almanac in there.
I look up like, stuff. I feel like it should be like a Contra-type game. You know?
Oh, sure.
Like, where one person plays as Randy Quaid and the other person plays as Rip Torn. And all you do, instead of like killing people or shooting terrorists and stuff like that, you just drunkenly break into houses.
What?
Yeah, just like Contra.
Yeah, just like Contra.
It was similar, actually. So Rob, I can tell how totally uncomfortable you are with this format right now. I'm wondering if we should try something a little different instead of our regular
like structure.
Yeah. Let's all
right.
I mean, we all have favorite video games, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
All right.
We can talk about them for 10 minutes.
Three times.
All right. Who's first? Let's draw straws right now.
All right.
Well,
Sean, I can't
bring out the game straws.
All right. Well.
Oh, geez. You know, we could do this. We could do this. We could do this. The 10 minutes way. Because.
Oh yeah. Let's do that.
You want to do that? Okay.
How do we pass around the revolver though?
Well, let's see. I'll just.
You'll just push it for us, I guess.
Okay.
I guess I'll just have to do it for you. Hold on. Let me just make sure that you guys can hear. I have to just make sure. Hold on. I got to bring up my app. It's a Russian roulette app.
So for those who don't know, because they didn't listen to an earlier show or because I didn't talk about it enough, I was on an episode of Rob's show.
Which is a great show, by the
way.
Everyone,
it's called 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie, in case we didn't make that clear. But we talked about Total Recall, the original 1990 version. I did finally see the newer one, by the way.
Oh, yeah. What'd you
think? It was all right. I mean, it's PG-13.
Yeah,
I think it hews closer to the book, which I haven't read. Well, the short story, I suppose, which I haven't read still. So I should read that next and then make my determination. But in like one sense how Total Recall was so violent it was cartoony, this is like so unviolent and like sanitized it's also cartoony.
Yeah,
I can't really.
yeah, I like Kate Beckinsale in it. I actually think she should play more villains.
She's right? How does she still look like she's 28? I don't get it.
Yeah, she's married to the director. I think that's
how that would do it.
All right, so here we go. I'm going to spin the channel. Let's see if we can hear this. Okay. Hear that? Okay, now.
This is so fun to see in person. Yeah. I'm sorry, no one can see this.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm going to put it right up to the microphone here. All right, yeah. And I'm pulling the trigger on myself first.
Okay. Here.
So, and then next will be Sean. And then, am I calling you Vink? Because that's how it comes up on my...
Sure, that's fine. Call me Vink.
Vink. All right, so here we go.
The name of my movie. Call me Vink.
Okay, here's me.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a click. Okay. Okay, now Sean.
Mm. Oh wow.
Oh.
Yeah. It's usually the first or second that usually goes off, but I've had it go all the way around to six. So, okay, so Sean, you're 5. You're the one who, like, I wasn't familiar with any of your games.
That's okay. Vink's the one that's actually talking about them.
Oh, okay.
Yep. All right.
I don't know which one is picking, actually.
I was totally going to go with Eternal Darkness, but we just talked about that.
Right.
So.
Oh, time travel, because that's going to come out after this episode.
Exactly.
Okay, so exactly. just to go, hold on a second, I'm bringing up, okay, so Sean, your list...
Yeah.
According to what you said, was Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem, The Journeyman Project 2, Buried in Time, Super Metroid, Mega Man X, X 10.
X, it's X. There's Mega X? Man 10 also.
Yeah, it's actually
different games.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. See, this is how much I know about it. And Legend of Zelda: Link's Awakening. Those are the 5.
And I gotta say I wanna know your take on Legend of Zelda: Link's Awakening.
Okay.
So that's what I choose.
So I will go ahead. First off, the way this normally goes is you have 30 seconds.
Yes.
Sean, to discuss the 30 seconds to tell me what is Legend of Zelda: Link's Awakening. So, go!
Link's Awakening is a game by the designer Totaka, who had done some other game called I don't remember the exact name of the game. But he took a lot of the same elements, made it a Zelda game, pretty cool, added the Chain Chomp. Link gets stranded at sea and wakes up on a mysterious island, and he has to kill everyone to wake up a giant flying fish. So, that's pretty much it.
Boom! 29.9 seconds.
Kazumi Totaka. I couldn't think of his whole name.
Did Dennis Hopper design this game?
I heard that since I know nothing about this game, I will just be letting you know how much time you have from time to time, interrupting time to time by saying you've got so and so many minutes. I'll let you know at the halftime, and I'll let you know when you're in the last minute. So, in 10 minutes, Sean. Why do you love this game?
So this is one of the first games I got for my brand spanking new Game Boy. There were really cool ads for it on TV. I loved Link to the Past on the Super Nintendo. I played it to death. And even though I played it to death...
You got a Game Boy after you got a Super Nintendo?
Yes.
Okay.
I got it for Christmas of 93.
Oh, okay.
So it was about 4 years after the Game Boy had come out. I would read Nintendo Power obsessively. And like write down the games I would want. I was like really intrigued by that whole like travel organizer game. It was so ridiculous. I finally got a Game Boy. Finally got it. And I was so stoked. And I got a Zelda game. And I didn't know how I'd feel about it being just 4 colors, you know. So for those who don't know. Why listen to the show? For those who don't know, you had, you know, the original Game Boy was dot matrix display, pea green background with various shades of black to gray on it, and very blurry. But the sound design was amazing, you know, and those who know who Kazumi Totaka is, of Totaka's song fame, should probably not be surprised by this. But the whole thing was based around music. So you're gathering several instruments, and together they make a song to wake up the windfish. And the question is, what happens when this occurs? Because you're aware at some point in the game that you are in a dream, hence the name Link's Awakening, and that everyone on this island is going to disappear, maybe. But you got to do it anyway, and so that's the whole backdrop to the story. But there was a lot more character interaction, I guess, than in previous Zelda games. Like, you met, I forget what variation. Was it Marin and Terran or Malin and Talon? Yeah. I can never keep those straight.
It's been a long time.
But I think it's Marin. She's the daughter. She finds you on the beach. Yeah. Helps nurse you back to health. And you begin on your adventure.
All right.
It's a lot of talking. I should let you say something.
I guess my question is, I mean, you submitted a list of your five favorite games, and that was the only Zelda on it. What makes this one, though? I mean, it's not the obvious choice, even for not only just for favorite game, but even just for favorite Zelda game, it's not the obvious choice. So what brings it apart from the others?
As much as I love Link to the Past, there's just this really special quality I feel like about Link's Awakening. Just the premise, just the idea that, you know, you're, by completing your adventure, you're helping to destroy the lives of this entire island. But then also, like I said, the music was really gripping. Yeah. But they did stuff with, because it's essentially the same engine, more or less, you know, as a Link to the Past. But it's also one of the first games, because it's only the fourth Zelda game, to sort of, you know, shy away from the whole Triforce formula, defeating Ganon or re-defeating Ganon. I guess Zelda 2 was kind of like that in a way, because Ganon wasn't really present for that game. But it wasn't as controversial as that game was either. So I think more because it surprised me by how just amazingly good it was despite the technological limitations. It's really stuck with me. Even though I own a Japanese physical copy of the DX version, which I've never really played because it's all in Japanese. And then I bought a virtual console version for my 3DS, and I haven't played that either. I don't need the color. Like, you know, it's nice. Right, but it doesn't make the game for me. I feel like I should
When I actually even play games emulated for like a virtual console, or I mean, whenever I have the choice, I'll stick with the original color palette. So I don't like that the Game Boy Advance defaults to all these weird color palettes when I'm playing a game, because I'd actually rather have it in black and white. I don't know. I mean, Yeah. Rob, same with movies, or you're liking colorized Casablanca?
I am not necessarily down with colorization, but I do like what the technology eventually did for film restoration. So I thought the colorization was a bad idea, but it did lead to great strides in restoring film. So.
I suppose. But I mean, if you have the choice to watch a film in black and white or color, if the film originally came out in black and white, which
black
do you prefer?
And white. Absolutely. Okay. The way the director wanted. By the way, we're at 4:50.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. So
to go.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay, so I mean, I loved Link's Awakening too. It's probably one of my favorites, because it had kind of the story was kind of deep, but it also had a lot of whimsy to it. There was a lot of funny writing. There were a lot of odd moments. The chomp chomp chains. You could win a Yoshi doll in one of the games. Very, 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 very interesting.
Yeah, because it was all a dream, right? You could sneak in these Mario references, and it wouldn't really matter as much. Like, you know, Marin's name is kind of a take on Mario, as well.
Oh, I never really made that connection.
Like Malin and Talon, like, you know, who were the brothers in charge of the Lon Lon Ranch in Ocarina of Time. Those guys are direct, like, Mario and Luigi analogs.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess it kind of started
that one's
there.
That one's a little more obvious, though.
Okay.
Yeah. But, so what about, a lot of things, has it held up? Would it be a good game to recommend to a Zelda fan who started with Ocarina of Time or later?
I might recommend the DX version. Like, there's an extra dungeon, right?
That was
unique to that one. Yeah, I haven't played it, like I said. I would, especially because there have been several other Game Boy games that I haven't liked as much. Like I played Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons, which were nice, but they didn't really stick with me. You know, I haven't played them again. I haven't tried to link them up to like get to the ultimate boss yet. I'm still working my way through Minish Cap, although it's back on the pile of shame for now. This is absolutely my favorite handheld. And to kind of answer your question earlier about why, you know, no other Zelda games like the 3D ones or even the originals, it's just, I like Ocarina of Time well enough, but it's, the plot is basically a cookie cutter version of Link to the Past, which I felt was so atmospheric and nice. And I know you said in the past that it doesn't hold up for you as much as it did when you first played it, but for me it does, Link to the Past.
No. Opposite. It held up amazingly.
Oh, I thought you said it didn't look as good on your HDTV.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess it didn't look as good, but as a game, it held up really really well. Yeah, graphically, yeah.
Okay. 2 minutes.
Not as good as I remember it.
So Majora's Mask, you know, I feel like I have to replay it at this point because I'm starting to wonder if I really did love it as much as I thought I did, because that was the one I was wrestling with, was if I was going to see Majora's Mask or not. And I could talk about that one for a long time, too, but... You know, ultimately, I had to go with my gut on this one and be like, I think it's Link's Awakening.
I enjoyed that game a lot too. I think it's a classic that doesn't get as much attention as maybe it should. I think I would play an updated remake of that game.
Because it is available on 3DS.
I suppose
people can get it still, but like, you know, they did a Link Between Worlds, you know, as a quasi remake sequel kind of thing, and I would love to see a 3DS version of Link's Awakening, or like, you know, Link's re-asleep or whatever, to go back to the island.
1 minute
spoiler, he does wake up.
Oh!
And everyone dies.
There's really no point for anybody to play it now.
The ending is what kind of gets me, right? That
the game called Link's Awakening has Link wake up.
Listen, unlike Mario 2, it doesn't piss you off. Like, he at the end, he's just sitting there on a piece of driftwood in the middle of the ocean, presumably to get rescued, but it's just like him and the music and some seagulls flocking in the background, and just and like left to ponder with Link. Was it all a dream? Are they still alive? You know, you never get the answer to that, and it's just this weird feeling for like a 13-year-old to have when playing a video game. Like, you just don't deal with those kinds of consequences most of the time.
Yep, most of the time it's just blow stuff.
At least 20 years ago you didn't.
10 seconds.
Yeah.
Great game, you should buy it. Buying a 3DS is really awesome.
There you go.
And bing, we're done. Okay, that's 10 minutes. My thing didn't go off.
We have to have their thing go off.
Oh, ding, ding. That's what it normally says. Or actually, lately in later episodes, we had to switch to a different timer so that the audience could see it. And so now it makes this really oppressive, like, sound.
Man, that's less fun.
it is less fun. I kind of like the bike sound
effect. What sound effect can we use?
We're going to add it in post. It feels like cheating.
How about... No.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, great.
Actually, I like that.
Wow. All right, let's do that next time. Next time it ends.
Okay.
Play that. That's good. All right, next person.
Okay, so, all right, it's between you and I, Vink.
Oh, no.
All right, so let me just go ahead and... All right. Oops. I loaded that with six bullets.
chopping that all over the floor.
Oops, somebody just sent me a text.
That's exciting.
Which adds to the height of
the doing the podcast now? Are you doing it now?
All right, here we go. All right.
Here we Whose go. Temple is it to?
You. We'll do you first.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. All right. I'm next.
Yep.
Ooh.
All right. Now, Vink. Oh. What? Okay, now me. Oh!
Right.
Wow. Lady Gaga was right. Russian roulette is not the same without a gun.
Oh, dear God.
Okay,
I never thought
so...
I'd hear those words.
Lady Gaga was right.
I thought I'd hear you say that and mean it.
Oh, hold on. I need to grab a sheet of paper here so I can make the appropriate sound effects.
Are you going to say what I mentioned when I said that I had not played any of the games on your list, and so
I already told these guys after our last show that we recorded that it's like we're the gay orgy. We found out we were all bottoms.
Yes.
Wow.
And David confirmed that is exactly what it is like. Yes.
Yeah. I can only go off of a gay friend of mine who once said that he wanted to hook up with somebody, and they were like, "All right, we're going to hook up." And they both found out they were bottoms. They were like, "All right, well, I'll see you tomorrow then." And just abandoned the hookup.
How do you like discover that ahead of time? Like, I don't know what the protocol is.
I don't know what the protocol is either. So I think that's a write in. That's a write in.
Right. If you know what the protocol is, please leave a comment.
Please do.
What are we doing here?
Okay. It's not my show. I don't care. I'm not going to get the freaky email.
Rob's email is...
No, no.
Oh, no!
Actually, if I had a way to talk about that on my show. Anyway, okay, so my...
So, sorry, your list is up here somewhere.
Right, it's...
I got it. All right, so, Rob, your top five. Ooh. Can you even hear that?
Oh, yeah, you're going to do the sound
Ooh,
of it.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah. The Walking Dead, uh-huh. Max Payne specifically too, Arkham City, uh-huh. GoldenEye 64, and StarCraft.
All right. So which one are you picking that we would talk about today?
Oh, I got to pick one that Vink's played.
Uh-huh. Not necessarily.
So full disclosure, I was going to talk about Walking Dead because I love Back to the Future and Telltale. Specifically.
Okay. I see the connection right now.
Yeah, because it's Telltale Game.
Yeah. It's finally downloaded.
Rob, if you could stay with us for about 8 hours, Sean.
Yeah, I'll play it right now. Everyone, pause the podcast. Yeah. No.
Sean, let me know when you're going to talk about Walking Dead because I totally want to be in on that conversation.
We'll invite you back, unless there's a lot of hate mail. No,
everybody suddenly hates that Rob guy.
It's between GoldenEye and StarCraft for me. I would want to talk about Arkham City, but I haven't finished it yet. Pile of shame right there. What do you think, Vink?
I'm fine with either of them. Played them both extensively.
Let's talk about GoldenEye then.
Yes. Okay. I was hoping it would be that one.
Sweet.
Okay.
Let me know when the timer is. Oh, wait, should I do the thing and then you start the timer?
So you ask me and I start the timer.
All right. So Rob, in 30 seconds, tell us, what is GoldenEye?
GoldenEye is a first-person shooter in which you are James Bond and essentially go through a somewhat improved version of the first Pierce Brosnan James Bond film, GoldenEye, in which you, 007, are pitted against 006, who you left for dead in the opening scene. No! Using the likenesses of all the actors involved, it's a lot of fun, and you get to blow everything up. That's it.
Boom! How'd you do?
29.8 seconds.
What? He could be lying to us. I don't care.
I probably am lying to you.
All right, so 10 minutes. Tell us, why do you love this game?
I love this game a lot because I was there was a time when first-person shooters were something that I was very much into. Strangely enough, not as into them as much now as I used to be. I'm kind of hopeless at them now. But this was one that not only was, I think, one of the better versions of a first-person shooter, but was also, like, it was based on a movie I was incredibly familiar with. I've always been a big James Bond fan. I liked that the music was very similar to the Eric Serra score for GoldenEye. I'm one of the few defenders of the music in GoldenEye. And, you know, there's a lot. There was something about, like, the first time you see somebody fire a gun in a game in a first person, actually seeing the shell casing come out of the gun, you know, or actually, like, you know, it seemed like there was no end of realism in that first game, where it's like, you know, being able to, like, when you're shooting at somebody and you miss and you see a whole decal get put in the wall, I mean, that's amazing to me. You know, that was amazing to me at the time. Now, of course, I take all of that for granted, that, you know, like, that it's all just gonna look that good. But there is really something to how you could just keep playing those levels over and over again and explore them, and it all seems so fresh and so new. And then, you know, eventually, of course, you beat the game, you get to do the cheat stuff, and so you get the Cougar Magnum, so it appears like you can shoot through people. I don't know, my two favorite cheats were getting the Cougar Magnum cheat and the paintball cheat.
Yes.
So that you could shoot through people so it looked like their blood splattered on the wall behind them.
I never tried that. That's good.
It's pretty, yeah, that one's awesome. There's also, in, like, the first level, there was a specific spot where if you just abandoned the entire mission, you could go up, and there's, like, one specific corner, and for some reason there was a glitch where the guys couldn't come through one of the doors. So you could just keep annihilating Russian soldier after Russian soldier, until the N64, like, just, it couldn't handle that much and would, like, slow down. So you started blasting away at these guys again and again and again, and they would die in slow motion like a John Woo movie. Like, it was like the Wild Bunch at the end, where it just, and then if you got impatient, you put one of the proximity mines there, or you put one of the mines there. Wait until about 20 guys got up to the door, and then, you know, back when, like, that was enough for you. You know, that it was one of the first games that I played that had different reactions for where on the body you got shot.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, that was a big deal. I remember
that was a big thing. So when one of my roommates at the time used to do what he would call sexecuting the scientists.
What?
Because the scientists would just stand there, like, they would stand there and quiver, so they wouldn't run away or try and shoot you like the soldiers would. So you could just, boom, one shot right to the ghoulies, and then they would collapse to their knees and think about all of their bad choices.
they chose to work for those people. They knew what they were getting into.
They knew what they were getting into. No, yeah, it's the Clerks argument of, hey, man, anybody who was working for Trevelyan clearly deserves to, you know, get one in the nads. and that's how I feel. But yeah, and it also, like, that last level, there's something about the people who don't play video games, particularly video games that have a story basis to it, you know. There is something really exciting about, like, playing out the ending of a movie that you've seen.
Yeah.
And after try number 402 of finally getting the guy, finally getting him, there's nothing more satisfying than when you finally defeat 006 at the end of the movie with the, "For England, James? No, for me." And I actually, when I finally did it, I actually yelled it out loud. I went, "No, for me, 006. You die again, Sean Bean."
You know, I didn't realize that was Sean Bean until just now. God, that makes too much sense. Yeah. I haven't seen that movie in probably as long as since I originally played the game.
Wait, really?
Yeah. I did not know who Sean Bean was when I saw that movie.
We're at 5 minutes, by the way.
Thank you.
Absolutely a groundbreaking game, GoldenEye. It really, really proved to a lot of people that a first-person shooter could even be done on a console, because before that it was pretty much PCs, and right. This was the one that showed, and also how much fun a split-screen multiplayer could be. I mean, when I was in high school or even early college, people would just come over and they'd just be like, let's play Bond. And you knew exactly what they were talking about. It was going to be four-player GoldenEye on the N64.
Yeah.
Just
wonderful. I don't know if you saw the thing that they did on, I think it was on the Jimmy Fallon show, where Jimmy Fallon challenged Pierce Brosnan to GoldenEye.
I did watch that. Before,
watch it, yeah.
And Pierce Brosnan had never played it before, and of course did disastrously. But it was just kind of cool to see it.
On another show, they challenged Mike Tyson to play Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and he hadn't played it before. I mean, Pierce Brosnan, come on.
It's like somebody told me this about my friend Doug Reed, who's another playwright here in Madison, told me about how when they'd made Beatles Rock Band and Paul McCartney was going to play it, but he demanded that like nobody be in the room, no press, no witnesses. It's like, I do not want any footage of me tanking it at Beatles Rock Band. I can completely understand that line.
Yeah.
You know, but just as a game, and that it had a story that you could follow, you know, and that was, you know, like, again, it followed the movie so closely in some ways. And
on the train where you have to use the watch and stuff.
Yeah. That was cool. That was a, you know, since it doesn't become a timed mission until the very, very end.
Yeah.
It always frustrated me that you couldn't kill the Alan Cumming character when you first saw him.
Yeah.
You know, because then I forget what her name is, but then she gets mad at you. It's like, you didn't have to kill him. He was just a computer hacker. He made decisions that got people killed, lady. He's no angel. This is me yelling at the game.
Yeah, Rare deserves mad props for the attention to detail in this. Like, they were, you know, I was reading all the Nintendo Power spreads on this, and they were talking about how, like, they had, like, the designers, like, they're on the set, and they were given blueprints and, you know, different, able to expand the story. And it's, you know, like, up until this game, movie tie-in games were just not good.
Right.
And after this game, movie tie-in games were not good.
Right,
this
right.
is an anomaly, not a trendsetter.
Yeah, I tried playing Quantum of Solace a few weeks ago, and I was not as impressed by it at all. I mean, you know, I don't know. There's also something to be said about how, like, the game isn't... By the way, we're at the two-minute mark. When the game isn't intimidatingly hard. Like, that was one of the appeals that I had when I first played Doom. You want to talk about first-person shooters.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think, was it Castle Wolfenstein? Was that the first first-person shooter?
Well, it's the first really popular one.
Right. First guy with a gun first-person shooter that, like, you know, got really, really popular. Doom was the first one to really kind of add a lot of gore to that and kind of made it cool, and it became this thing because, you know, like, the demo was available everywhere, and I know that was big on my campus.
Both the same company.
Yeah, yep. And then, like, GoldenEye just made it awesome. Like, GoldenEye really made it feel like it kind of accomplished something. We got 1 minute left.
What, no Duke Nukem?
Oh, you know, it's funny because, like, I never played Duke Nukem because I didn't have money to spend on video games at the time.
Oh, you paid for them. Oh, I see.
Oh, that was your
mistake.
Early 90s Rob didn't understand how to pirate things and relied on friends to figure that out for him. You know,
Late 90s Vink was actually a pirate.
Like,
with an eye patch.
In the remaining seconds, anything else you want to say?
Oh, geez. Now I know how everybody else feels when this happens. I've never played... There's a part of me that really wants to play the updated version of it. You know, I do think it's kind of a bunch of crap that they switched him out with Daniel Craig. But I like Daniel Craig, but I do think it's like, no. He was the Bond. Brosnan was the Bond when they made that movie. Show some respect, you bastards.
Mm. Yep. Like how I hope there's never a Mario sequel because Dennis Hopper has passed away.
Right. And we're done. Boom, up top. Wait, there's no man.
Oh, God. You waited until like the last second to slip in the Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Oh! Wow.
Did she say that?
She does say that.
Man.
Well, I guess we know who goes next.
Yeah, obviously, if choice seems fairly obvious.
Let me just shoot myself in the head first.
Okay, I'm kind of glad that we're saving this one for last.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see. Okay. Yeah, expect a lot of divergence on this one.
I don't know.
What about a crappy young adult movie? All right. Have you seen Divergence? Am I stepping on anybody's toes there?
It was all right.
It was all right? Okay, I'm just making fun of it because I read the premise to Divergence 7 times and I still didn't understand it. I'm like, wait, what? People are separated by personality traits? None of this makes any sense.
It's true. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Didn't that script eventually be adapted into the movie High School Musical?
Yeah. Well, isn't the whole thing essentially just a several book long version of Let This Be Your Last Battlefield from the original Star Trek? Or did I just go over everything?
No. Yeah. No.
No?
Yes?
Yeah?
In a way.
Yeah.
In a way. Yeah, I see where you're going. Yeah.
Anyway.
Video games! Okay, so... for our round three, and I also want a quick mention. I have a video game question for the two of you because there was one I didn't put on my list because I didn't think you guys had seen it, but I want to save it for after we do Vink.
All right. Okay.
So, Vink, your top five that I have here are Super Mario 3D World, Bomberman 94, Panzer Dragoon Saga, Final Fantasy II, and normally I say a quote. for this thing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot the quote. Oh! Yeah,
can't do a quote for it. But Burger Time is what we're going to be talking about.
Oh, no.
We're going to somehow talk about Burger Time for 10 minutes. Let's see how this goes.
All right.
It's going to be amazing.
We're going to do this.
Okay, so Vink, in 30 seconds or less, what is Burger Time? Go.
Burger Time is the most realistic restaurant simulation game of the 80s.
That's it? That's all things.
That's all you're gonna say? You just wanted to beat our time, didn't you? All right, fine. Enjoy your 12-second summary.
he needs like, you know, to fill a 10 minutes somehow, so he's gonna explain what the game is when we
Burger Time is a game where you play Peter Pepper. He is a restaurateur making burgers for unseen giant people. he needs to construct them by walking atop them, refusing to take off his shoes in the process, and trapping hot dogs and eggs, which are smaller than the burgers themselves but still large enough to pose a threat to Peter Pepper along the way, hoping that his customers won't notice the pepper-sprayed eggs are contained within the burgers that he is making.
Now, here in Wisconsin, I've never seen people order fried eggs on their burgers until I came to Wisconsin.
The old-fashioned, or?
Yeah.
It is a Japanese game, and there are many, many burgers on the menu of restaurants such as McDonald's, which contain eggs. And if you haven't tried it, eggs in burgers, it's a good thing.
Really? All right, well, maybe I'll try that next time.
It's a good thing. Dead chefs who have been killed by eggs in the burgers, not as good.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we'll get to that when I ask you my next question.
All right.
Say, Hank, why do you love this game? Boom, go.
All right. I love this game because it has a very simple premise, but a very bizarre premise. I enjoy eating hamburgers. I think that's one of the biggest things is that the idea of this game, which, like, unlike so many games that were out at the time of shoot aliens, defend America, you are a short order cook who has to make giant hamburgers by walking across them. Just the even as I think the game came out when I was quite young, and I played it in the arcades long before I played the NES version, I just fell in love with the kind of wacky concept, and it still continues today with games like Katamari Damacy, which has the thing of roll stuff up into a big ball is the premise, but the fact that you can make something of that, the other thing was the much like how games like Pac-Man were popular at the time, one of the big draws for the game. Basically, you have these relentless pursuers keeping you from doing a very easy task. Like, if there were no ghosts in Pac-Man, it would be a game of tidying up, you know? You know, and for this one, it's you're basically, you know, putting burgers together. I guess maybe if anyone hasn't played Burger Time, the basic premise is you're on this giant multi-tiered platform, and on the bottom of the screen are four or five, it depends on the level, plates. And you have to walk across the bun, the meat, the lettuce, and in some levels the cheese, and it drops everything down one tier. So what the strategy of the game is that you start on the top, and if you drop the bun down, everything drops down one level, because it gets pushed down. But of course, you have to be avoiding a North American and hot dog is do so. One of the game mechanics is that you have a limited number of pepper shots. You spray one of the enemies, and then have the layer drop down. They'll drop all the way down to the bottom. So there's this element of trying to avoid, at the same time, to trap them, because you need their to be able to use them to clear the level faster, to score more points, and limited resources. You have very few shots of this pepper. I thought it was never as popular, but I thought it was like Pac-Man, but with a deeper gameplay element, and that's why I still really enjoy playing it to this day.
There's definitely a satisfying element of, like, when you are able to trap one of the eggs or one of the things that's chasing you between the buns, or even that domino effect when you drop a bun down and it, you know, hits the lettuce, then it hits the patty, yep, and then hits the thing, you know, all the way down. One thing that I had been thinking about, well, what are we going to talk about, is, you know, again, it's important to view these... it's important to view things within the time that they were popular and the time that they came out. And it did seem like there were a lot of crap is chasing after you, yeah, while you in the most absurd order activity known to man in some way. Cause there was like this game, and Dig Dug was another favorite of mine. That's sort of similar, yeah, to that, of crap is chasing you around while you dig holes. And in much the same way that it was, you know, incredibly satisfying to blow up one of the things that's chasing after you, it's also kind of satisfying to, like, if you can get two of the things that are chasing you somehow.
Yes, yes.
You know, by running over the thing. I mean, I know that there was a way to accidentally crush yourself in the burger.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait, is there? I suppose if you're fast.
Yeah, because I think you were starting at the top. Then it comes down, because it has to stop at every level and kind of just pauses and goes down. If you make it down the ladder fast enough, you can...
Yeah, I know yourself. That I've certainly accidentally killed myself doing that, where it's like, yeah, the domino effect, and then, like, you know, I thought I could run through because I thought I was smarter than the burger.
a fatal short cook mistake.
A fatal mistake that I... according to my doctor, who diagnosed with high blood pressure.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's one of the things that, you know, like, and I think about Burger Time, and so when you mention it, it's like, yeah, part of it is on the effect, obviously. with me as well. You know, I think about that game. I mentioned how, you know, recently I was in a bar and had a quarter on me, and I was like, oh, they've got Burger Time, you know, and played it. And it was like, you know, and the funny thing is like, I feel like I'm just as good as it now as I was the first time I played it. It's very first-time user-friendly as a game.
It is.
It's, you know, it's a simplistic mechanic, but there's also something maddeningly addictive about, you know, again, that very pleasant domino effect when, you know, when the burgers, you know, kind of come down.
There's the idea of actually being able to see the progress you're making in the game. Like, you know how far in the level you are, you know how many burgers you got done, and usually you know what you did wrong if you die.
Right. Right. And, you know, there is, you know, and it's also, it's so strange because, you know, of the video games that I've mentioned before, you know, where it's like, wow, there's a whole world kind of a thing. You know, I have to remember that there were times when there were simpler games like this where it's like, yeah, all you basically do is just make burgers in this senseless void for apparently giant people. For some reason, I never made the connection that there were giant people. I just thought there were. Was like maybe possibly one very hungry man.
I couldn't possibly eat another bite.
No, well, yeah.
I'm stuffed.
No, it's only a wafer thin.
Oh man,
Mr. Creosote, that, come on.
Yeah, of course. Look, meaning of life. I just watched that yesterday.
Nice.
In preparing for this podcast.
Yeah, because we knew it would come up. It always does. but yeah, how far? Like, I never really got past like two levels in the game.
Oh, go ahead.
No. But it was just sort of like I can't imagine that it really gets any more, you know, like any more difficult. We're gonna make a really complicated burger. You know.
Well, I mean, they add
like
they
LA.
Add it. Yeah. Yeah. Later on, you're like. Okay, it's avocado, lightly toasted bun, got to gather some sesame seeds, okay,
yeah,
balsamic vinegar.
I got invited to a burger place in L.A. to meet up with a couple of friends, and I was utterly stunned at how seriously those dudes take their burgers. Because it was sort of like, bun? Well, yes, of course a bun. What kind of psychopath would want a bun? It's like, sure. It's like, oh, do you want it on an English muffin? Do you want it on a this? Do you want it on a that? What is this, Burger Time? I actually said that. What is this, Burger Time? Like, I don't care.
I'd like it on top of an order of lobster thermidor. Okay.
It's served
but
in perfume in a men's hat.
Here's the weird thing about Burger Time, though, is I've never even gotten all that far in it. Despite it being one of my favorite and like my one of my comfort food games, it's quite hard, actually. I think I've probably only made it to level 4.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's not the game. It's not like a modern game. You can't save it, you know.
Right.
If you lose all your lives, you're back making those easy. But the thing is, that's the thing. I love the first level of Burger Time because you get almost into a zen-like state because
1 minute.
Like I never really die on the first level of Burger Time anymore because I've played it so many times. Because to get to the higher levels, you play it. Yeah, you know it. And you start learning the patterns of the ingredients walking around, and I don't know, it's almost meditative when you play something so familiar, but one you've still got to focus on. But I'm in the zone when I'm playing Burger Time, and that's why, despite its shallowness compared to today's games, it's still one of my favorites of all time.
There is, I mean, there's a place here in Madison. It's I think it's Rossi's Pizzeria where they have like
yep.
all of these 1980s, 80s and at least one from like you know like the early 70s, like the late 70s video games that are in there, and that's one of them. You know, so I think that's one of them. I don't know, but it's like it's just
fair.
So fun to play like the simplistic games because yeah, boom, we're done. Sorry, I really was just gonna say Zen. If there's something Zen about it, that's
yep.
it.
Wow, you know you're pressed for time when you can't fit in the word Zen. Not a long word.
Yeah. So at any rate,
hey,
so
we did it. We talked about 10 minutes on Burger Time. And I would like to point out that of all of the games we talked about, the one on Burger Time was the most focused on the game.
Yeah, I stand corrected here. I thought for sure that was going to be a disaster. But like Rob, like every time I listen to your show, like every single episode, like I want to watch the movie they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And like listening to you guys talk about Burger Time, it's like, I want to play that now. And I have it. I can do it.
Well, it's funny because like when we just recorded an episode. It'll be out in a few weeks on the movie. Actually, I think it's coming out tomorrow on Hudson Hawk, and you know, because it's like there is a game, and I said, you know, and that was the thing is, you know, because I love when people give me their top five. If there's one in the group that's like a, you know, like not many people like it, you know. But I do kind of thing, you know, where I feel it's like, well, you know, like where everybody hated it, but I love it. It's one of my favorites because I always say it's not 10 minutes about the best movie. It's 10 minutes about your favorite movie.
Yeah.
And as we all know, favorite doesn't necessarily mean good, you know.
The passion with which they talk about this is what makes me want to see them.
Right. And like my guest and I talked about it, Michael and I talked about this, and the end of the episode, I heard one of my friends say, it's like, you know, I didn't like that movie, but I kind of like it now. It's just like, right. Like, I kind of like looking back on it, it is actually kind of a funny movie.
All right. So, so Rob, thanks for being with us. Your show, 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie, also on the Little Podcast Network. Announcement time.
Okay.
I almost forgot about this. So next month, we are going to be at Dice Show Con. I know we are. Rob, did you get into that?
I think I am, yeah.
All right.
And if anybody is like kind of annoyed about the idea of like a movie podcast being part of Dice Show Con, we're just as confused about it. But hey, man.
It's all friendly. About what's fun. It's all about what's fun. Yeah. I mean, this is a video game podcast as part of Dice Show Con. Does that make any sense?
That is the best argument I've ever heard.
Yeah. Hey,
because
man.
if you have any concerns about it, hey man.
That's you want to try this speed?
You should be a speechwriter for Obama. Yeah. You know, I know a lot of people have been down about the Affordable Care Act, but hey man.
I like to think that us appearing, that a movie podcast appearing at Dice Show Con is like, you know, somewhat less disconcerting than like, you know, drone strikes.
Jeez. Somewhat.
That note.
Less
disconcerting. I do have to mention this. This is more of a personal thing. Actually, no, I won't talk about that. Sorry.
Too personal.
No. Okay, I will, because it's more because I realize like it's kind of shameless plug time. But
right.
I'm doing this play called Christmas Boogie. It's all about like lip syncing to children's albums. I did one called Superhero Boogie that was superhero adventures and then lip synced and acted out on stage. I did one called Boogie of the Apes and that was all Planet of the Apes stuff. This one is called Christmas Boogie because it's all Christmas stuff. And the reason why I'm mentioning it here on this podcast, because there might be interest, is because we are doing Pac-Man Christmas as one of the stories.
What?
Ooh. Well, I should be specific. We're doing an excerpt from Pac-Man Christmas because that is one crap bag of an album. Oh my God. Oh. It is so... There's 25 minutes of it. And seriously...
Listen...
Choice between Thumbscrews and the Pac-Man Christmas album, thumbs up, pal.
Listen, if you know that in the world exists someone talking for 25 minutes about the themes of Pac-Man and Christmas and where they converge, how could you be worried we couldn't talk 10 minutes about Burger Time?
So when and where is this going to be?
That is going to be, I think it's the last, let me see, I think it's during December, so I think it's December, I want to say, I think it's December 19th and 20th, and I think, actually, wait, 12th, 13th, and 19th and 20th, I believe, is when we're coming up. You can check it out on bstonline.org. will be where the official announcement goes up, or look us up on Facebook.
So it is the River Street Theater then.
Yep, River Street Theater. It's a late night show, starting the Broom Street late night wing of shows, of hour long shows that are kind of like a little bit crazier than you would normally see at Broom Street. And if you know Broom Street, you know that's saying something. So
let us perform there.
Right. This is worth mentioning, right? So like we did our show for, what the heck was that thing called?
Madison Underground.
Yeah, so we did it. We actually filmed a trailer for it, a promo for it, and Rob was in the audience of that. So if you want to see Rob, he's in the background, hanging out, doing the crazy motions.
Yeah, we did a gag with a Wii podcast, and my friend Sarah Hesh is in it as herself.
Yes.
And that was a lot of fun. And then that was my first meeting of you.
Yes, yes. I heard about you for years because you know Colin and Lindsay and those guys.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting there's also that connection there. I was the
you guys
official.
Just keep talking. I'm gonna play Burger Time.
All right, should we end the show? Then let's end the show. Is November 21st to 23rd, and then your play is December 12th and 13th and 19th and 20th. You said.
I believe those are the tentative dates that we scheduled. Yeah.
Sweet. Broom Street Theater. DaishoCon's in Wisconsin Dells, for those who are curious, at the Kalahari Resort.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
That's where it is?
Yeah. It's been there for the last few years, actually.
I want to go to DaishoCon.
You're not going to get here early enough.
No, I'm not.
Cool beans. All right. Well, until next time, then. The dojo is
increasingly filled with guest stars.
Yeah. Well, as you will find out next time.
Yep. All right. Great. Great. Keep it running in case we say something cool.
Babcom Dojo.
If you enjoyed this episode, please visit our show notes at FamicomDojo.tv and leave a comment. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or our RSS feed. Rate and leave a comment on our free iTunes storefront, or call us at 608-492-1923 to share your thoughts. Follow Famicom Dojo on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube to train your game. And visit littlepodcast.com to sponsor an episode, sign up for a free Audible trial, or listen to any of the other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.